Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Pastor Dave.
And how are you doing today?
I am bouncing, bubbling, and bright and cheerful.
Oh, dear me. Huh. Well, you know, that leads me to some questions, but I'm not going to ask because I had one other one I wanted to really ask you. Last week in room 4216, we learned about my family and my sister with music. Mm-hmm. But as I recall, you have a family background in music too. Didn't your dad do some music?
Oh, boy, did he ever.
Do you have any one fond memory of him with music?
Just one?
Just one.
I remember I took piano lessons, of course.
Mm-hmm. And he taught you, right?
No, he did not.
Oh.
He thought it was better if someone else teach me.
Okay.
And, but I really wanted to learn about the violin. And finally, my parents said, all right. And they found me a violin teacher. And with the particular course that she taught, the parent had to come with the student for a while.
Okay.
And so my dad came with me. And then she discovered that my dad could play the piano and could learn accompaniments. Oh. And so she said, would you mind coming kind of permanently? Because if you play the accompaniments, then I can spend more time teaching your daughter.
Ah.
Well, dad said, sure. And he came from then on. And we, all three of us, had a wonderful time at it.
Most of the time. A fun family time around music. That's cool.
Yes.
Well, let's go into room 4216 and have a fun family time around God's Word. Let's continue with reading verses 35 through 40.
Be dressed and ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them waiting when he comes. I tell you the truth. He will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.
Well, this is a parable that we just read, and I'll be honest, I had one understanding, and it really confused me, and you helped me understand this a little bit, Cecilia.
Yeah, we had quite the discussion on this one.
Why?
What does it mean when it says that the master comes, and if the servants are ready, he dresses himself to serve?
Yeah. Now, the first thing it says is the servants are supposed to be dressed and ready because they don't know when the master's coming.
Ah, that's right.
And it, just like any old thing, and the master going away, and this is a wedding, which is significant enough because Jesus talks about the church as his bride and he's the groom coming. Well, at a wedding, that becomes important here too, because at a wedding, The groom will sometimes serve the bride, you know, like a dinner at breakfast or something like that. Or not dinner at breakfast, a breakfast. But here it says the master is serving the servants. And if you that's what confused me, because I thought it was saying the servants would serve the master. But you pointed out, no, that's not what the text is saying. And that's what really would have gotten the disciples' attention. Whoa, whoa, what did you say?
Wait a minute, the master serving the servants?
It's one of the big themes in the Gospel of Luke. If you look at any of the commentaries, they'll talk about the great role reversal. You've heard the phrase and read it many times. He who is first shall be last, and he who is last shall be first.
Sure.
And Jesus took a little child and put him in front of them and said, you must be like a little child. This is another example of the role reversal, that the master came not to be served, but to serve, and I'm quoting, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mm-hmm. That's from Luke chapter 19. And that's the whole point of Jesus and how he is a different type of Messiah, a different type of Christ than what everybody was expecting. We're going to find that out later in the chapter, that he's going to bring that, circle that back around, the role reversal. So yeah, here it is, that the master is going to serve the servants. Nothing you would have ever heard of before. But that's the kingdom of God. After Jesus tells this parable, Peter's going to follow up with a question.
Peter asked, Lord, are you telling us this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant who the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time at coming. And then he begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect it, and at an hour when he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked.
Well, Peter's finally starting to catch on a little bit, and that's why he followed up with the question, is this just about us or about everybody?
Mm.
And Peter's finally going, oh, you are a different type of Messiah. And at first, not that he was familiar with the communistic system, but he finally realized, oh, this is not going to be an authoritarian type thing, but equality or serving each other. And he may have thought, like in a community or a family, it goes deeper than that, where Jesus is literally being our servant. And he did that on the cross because he served us by taking our sins. Peter's question, Jesus answers, interestingly, everybody, anyone who is a faithful servant. So it isn't just the disciples, it's everybody.
Everyone.
Everyone, yeah. And that includes you and me. Centuries later, nations away, continents distance, DNA different than the Jewish people. All people.
All servants.
Uh-huh. Now, there is another interesting twist to this, though, that Jesus adds at the end of this. And maybe you better reread that again, Cecilia.
I think I know which part you're talking about. The part that I got all confused with as we were studying this.
Well, I did too. And you can if you don't hear it correctly right away.
Yeah. Verse 47. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows.
So this is speaking about the servant to be ready. You and me, Christians, we're supposed to be waiting for Jesus' coming. And we know what to do. Serve him. Serve other people.
Obey.
Obey. Seek at keeping the Ten Commandments. Live a Christian life as best we can. And it's not talking about the times we stumble and fall, but with the general focus. If we go, yeah, don't worry, he's not going to be back for a long time. That's what it's referring to. Is those who
old, don't worry, I'm forgiven anyway.
Yes, yeah,
cheap grace.
Cheap grace. Yep. Now the second phrase here, he goes on.
But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows.
Here Jesus doesn't talk much about the people who have never heard the gospel, but this is one of the phrases that he does. Those who have not heard the gospel, the good news that Jesus died for their sins and rose, those who have not heard and don't do, they're still going to be consequences. They're still held responsible for their sinfulness, but it's not as great of a sin because they don't know, which swings it back around to you and me who do know. Wow, when we have the knowledge of it, if we just take it for granted, that's a terrible thing.
Mm.
A terrible thing, because then we're in some ways spitting in our Lord's face, laughing at him and slapping him, just like those soldiers did. Let's continue on reading here in chapter 12. Jesus speaking some more words to his disciples.
I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Wait a moment. I don't understand this. He says he came to bring fire, and he wishes it were already kindled?
Let's read on. I think part of the answer will come in the following verses.
But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in a family, divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. So first he goes to fire, and then to a baptism, and then to the fact that
division.
He didn't come to bring peace, and there's division.
Yeah. Jesus is trying to help the disciples understand what the focus is. They're slowly moving towards Jerusalem, and they were thinking, oh, the Messiah is coming. He's going to establish the kingdom of David once again. And when he says, I'm coming to bring fire, it means destruction, no doubt about it. But then he goes on to say, but I have a baptism. And the word but means, well, go ahead.
But he said first, he'd bring fire, and how I wish the destruction were already kindled.
Because he knows what the baptism is his being immersed in temptation, trial, hardship, and torture. It's his death. This is the baptism he's talking about, his death on the cross for all of the sins of the world. And that's why he came, was to bring the destruction of sin. So it's both a combination of the destruction of the world, but more than that, the destruction of the devil and all of his dominion. And he was taking this all on himself and that's why he called it a baptism. A baptism is where you're immersed, surrounded and taken under by it. And Jesus was going to do that. And he wants to note that when this happens, it doesn't mean there's going to be peace and harmony like the kingdom of David and the kingdom of Solomon. But he notes that there's going to be division because some will follow him and some won't follow him. That's why the division between father and son and mother against daughter and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, that families will actually be separated. So it's not just this happy time, but there's going to be hardship because it's based upon the principle of belief. Belief in him as the Savior and the type of salvation he is bringing.
Oh.
Now, do you see anything else there, Cecilia?
Oh, yeah. Luke 2 talks about there were shepherds in the fields and the angel of the Lord came. And then there was the multitude of angels saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men.
It's God's peace. It's not man's peace. There's another verse, too, you probably are familiar with. From John, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled.
And do not let them be afraid.
Yeah. His peace is one between us and the Father, one that will last into eternity, one that will isn't just a stopping of battles or of screaming and shouting, but it's a peace of unity with God and us.
And this peace that he's talking about here, this peace is that he's not going to bring is between us and the world.
Right. Right. And Cecilia, why don't we finish the chapter off, starting at verse 54 to the end, just a couple of verses, if you would read them, please.
Sure. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky? How is it you don't know how to interpret the present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him along the way, or he may drag you off to the judge. And the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
Hello, ma'am. I'm with Lawson Prevention. See my badge? I saw you put that in your bag there.
I didn't put anything in my bag.
Please open up your bag. There, that's it. Right there. That item. I saw you slip it into your bag.
I don't know how that got in there.
Come with me, ma'am.
No, no, really. I don't know how it got in there. Look, I'll pay you for it. It was, what, $1.57? Here, I'll
come with me, ma'am.
Look, I'll pay you double for it. See? I can't.
Ma'am, come with me. Jesus here with the disciples was closing up with just some simple, plain words, but to a spiritual point. Everything he always says has a spiritual point, whether it be when he said earlier with the in today's lesson about the parable of being a servant to be ready. We're mm-hmm. always supposed to be ready, not just for our daily activity, but for Jesus coming back. And here too, he says, you know what it's like with the if you see clouds or the hot, dry south wind. That's what it was in Jerusalem. You know that it's going to, you know, be sunny. You know how to figure out the weather. So why don't you figure out the spiritual stuff? And even takes it one step further. You know, if you're caught by the magistrate or caught by the police officer, you're going to kind of negotiate, bargain, and before you get hauled away. Well, what's the spiritual connection?
You can't bargain with God.
And so you might as well start talking with him right now. You see people being sick. You know of people dying. You know of people having bad situations. All of these things point to the fact that we live in a world that's broken, and which we cannot be God, in which we cannot control ourselves, but in which sin is in charge, really. And so why not now, since you see the sign of the times, turn to him because he wants to help you. Turn to him for forgiveness. He won it on the cross. Turn to him for strength. He'll help you with the struggles you're with. Turn to him whenever. Read the signs of the time. Well, Cecilia, since last week my sister played Alley Cat, and today you mentioned you played the violin, would you please close by accompanying us with some violin music as we close out the program?
No. I just couldn't.
Oh, come on. You'll be fine.
No.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be okay. Please, please, please. Everyone would love to hear you play. Please.
Well, all right.
Oh, well, been a little while since you played. It's been nice to have some time with you, Cecilia, and it's sure nice to have time with you all people, but don't make it so long for us to hear from you. You can write us at
info,
I-N-F-O,
at not-alone,
N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E,
.net,
N-E-T. And remember,
we are not alone.
Cecilia.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Interlude musicians, Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn. And the theme from the old-time radio series, Dragnet, composed by Walter Schumann.